All right. Weekly share from Maseches Sukkah is sponsored by Yitzweiss CPA. It says shake things up a bit this tax season, even though tax season is over. And that's what, you know, today's breakfast is not sponsored by Bagel Munch today. Even though Chaim's granddaughter is a very, very special young lady and brings tremendous nachas, he did not sponsor the bagels today. Which, of course, you know, I was going to say, this is the first time I've given a Gemara shiur in a really, 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 really long time.
And no bagels.
And after Pesach, with no bagels, I was hoping, like, you know, at least the bagels would keep everybody, like, you know, tame. And but I was told that, you know, there's a very kavua ending time. And one of the things that I've learned as being in education for a long time is mitzvah number 613 is thou shalt not go over recess more than a second. So we will make sure that that works. Okay, we're going to be starting the Mishnah on Daf Tesim and Aleph, the last Mishnah, but, you know, this is kind of a little bit of a continuation of the last Mishnah. The last Mishnah learned, we taught about certain things called Sukkos Ganvach and Sukkos Ravkash, that were things that even though they weren't necessarily assembled for what we would call our Sukkah on Yontif, the Gemara says as long as they're made L'shem Tzel to provide shade, as opposed to, let's say, L'shem Otsar for just storage purposes, that's going to be okay. What our mission is going to do, actually, is going to say that what we learned previously is only going to be, according to one opinion, it's only going to be according to Beis Hillel, as we're going to see, Beis Shammai has a totally different requirement for Sukkah. And it's introduced, as the Mishnah says, a Sukkah Yeshana, we'll just translate it as it is, in old Sukkah, Beis Shammai Poslin, Beis Hillel Machshirin, that Beis Shammai say it's puzzle, and Beis Hillel say it's good. And the first thing we're going to be saying is we're not going to be saying an old sukkah is gauged by age, meaning if somebody wants to take out their grandfather's sukkah or they want to use, you know, they bought on eBay some, like, original boards from the Mayflower or somehow, and they want to put them in their sukkah to speak about independence and stuff like that, and the boards are 300 years old, that's totally not going to be an issue. What the Mishnah is going to tell us, it says, Ve'ezu sukkah yeshana. What is considered to be a sukkah yeshana is kol she'asah kodem l'chag shloshim yom. Anything that was made 30 days before Sukkot, that's considered to be a sukkah yeshana. If you make a sukkah more than 30 days before Sukkot, so Beis Shammai says it's not going to be good, at least we'll explain to what that means. And Beis Hillel says it is going to be good. Now, why would Beis Shammai say that a sukkah that's 30 days old or so you make it in the end of the summer is not going to be good? So let's just look at the Rashi quickly. It's the second Rashi on the top of the Yomud. It says, Beis Shammai poslim. And because Beis Shammai needs the bo sukkah lishma, you need a sukkah that's made for the purpose of the mitzvah. Vizo stamna says, and this is just made plain. And this, of course, is where you have a difference between what we learned in the last Yomud and we learned over there. Over here, the last time we said that as long as the sukkah is made for shade, but you're not necessarily making it for the mitzvah, it's going to be good. Beis Shammai over here is telling us that when you put your sukkah, let's just say right now, you put your schach on your sukkah, it has to be l'shem sukkah, as that many of us might be familiar when we visited matzah bakeries or seen matzah bakery videos or showed lots of matzah bakery videos to, like, keep our stir crazy classes occupied when there's no outdoor recess or stuff like that, right? You hear them in the bakery, they go, L'shai matzah mitzvah, L'shai matzah mitzvah, right? Because it's got to be l'shma. So we do that with matzah. Beis Shammai would say you basically have to do that with your sukkah as well. What's the idea of the 30-day magic? So the idea, the magic thing of 30 days, all of a sudden what? Before 30 days, it's no good, and then 30 days it turns into a pumpkin and it's going to be good. So the answer is, Rashi's going to quote it, is that there's a certain halacha which tells you that Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag, 30 days before Yontif, Shorlin V'Dorshin Behilchel Shochag, we go and ask all different kinds of questions, and that's when we start bothering the rabbi about all kinds of different questions about Sukkah, meaning right now probably Rabbi Glasser is not going to be getting too many, well, he'll be getting questions about, you know, where you can go shopping, even though he didn't read the 10 emails that were sent out on Erev Yontif. But, you know, after that kind of dies down, he's not going to be getting too many chametz shailas in the middle of the summer, right? But, you know, as soon as Purim ends, you know, 30 days before, that's when all the Pesach shailas start. So since at that point, Sukkot's also 30 days before Sukkot's, you know, your mind is already starting to be on Sukkot as well. So because of that, that's not going to consider to be a Sukkah Yeshana. Now, I was talking before about putting the schach on the sukkah, l'shem sukkah. And the reason why I said let's maybe hold off for a second is because there is a machlokas achronim as to what exactly has to be done l'shem chak. The Taz, it's brought down in Tofrei Shlamed Vav, writes very simply, Haschach HaYoshon, that when we're talking about Sukkah Yeshana, it's talking about the schach that was put up. That's Yeshana. Aval Defanos Leislenba, Lekuliyama. There's no issue in terms of the walls. And, you know, simple reason behind this is we might remember the Gemara that we learned, or the Rashi that we learned on Daf Beis, which tells you Sukkah, why is Sukkah called a Sukkah? Al Shem Aschach. Schach is what defines the sukkah. So if we're going to be saying we're dealing with a sukkah yeshana or an old sukkah, it's going to be about the schach. However, the Sfas Emes brings down that there are some rishonim, very possibly, that would say that the what we're talking about a sukkah yeshana, it's also talking about the defanos or the walls of the sukkah. Now, why would that be? So as we're going to see a little bit later on in the Amud, there's a question about atzei sukkah being usur bahana, that you can't get benefit from the wood of the sukkah. And there's going to be a machlokas rishonim as to whether that applies only to, whether that only applies to the schach, or it applies to the walls as well. If you want to hear about that, I'm going to give you a plug for a certain podcast called Insights of the Daf by an anonymous, unnamed person, but he is going to be talking about that on the podcast, which will probably be available right after this particular shir. So what the Sfas Emes would say, that if you're going to be saying that the Isser Hana, or the Isser to get benefit from the Sukkah, applies to the walls, he would say it would apply to Sukkah Yeshana as well. So happens to be that there might be a machlokas as to whether this is only on the Schach, or whether it's on the walls as well. Now, I know I'm saying a lot of stuff out now. We're going to be actually moving on very soon, but I just want to throw one more point in. And that's, why should we care? Right? This is Beis Shammai's opinion. And we know that when we're dealing with any halacha, unless it's a major, major exception, when we're dealing with a machlokas between Beis Hillel and a machlokas between Beis Shammai, so we go ahead and follow Beis Hillel. So why are we so concerned about this Sukkah Yeshana according to Beis Shammai when Beis Hillel doesn't even hold of it? So it happens to be the Top Tosos brings down that a situation is, what happens if you did this, right? So say, you know, Beis Shammai, you went ahead and built your sukkah on 4th of July. And you have it there, and it's sitting there. And then you realize, oh, I have a problem. So the Top Tosos just brings down, I'll just read it very, very quickly, just the first two lines. It says, B'Yerushalmi Tani. It's taught in the Yerushalmi, Tzarech L'chadish Bo Davar. You have to, in order to fix the sukkah, you have to just make something new. What does that mean? Chavrin Amrin Tefach means, it's how you pick up a tefach amount of schach, you pick it up, you put it back down, and if you're ready now, officially rebuilt your sukkah. Riyosi Amar Kol Shehu, or just even, let's say, one piece of schach, as long as it goes the entire extension of the sukkah, you know, the length, the width-wise, that would be enough. So at least you have to go ahead and fix something. Tosos later on says that that's also according to Beis Hillel too. And the question is, why would we need Beis Hillel need this also? Because, you know, again, this whole thing is a question according to Beis Shammai. Why would Beis Hillel say this? And the Mishnah Berurah brings down, and the Mechaber brings down, that this is all talking, that Beis Hillel is going to be saying that, yes, we're dealing with like a Bidyevit situation. That if you went ahead and built your sukkah July 4th and you want to keep it up, Bidyevit's going to be good. However, we want to go ahead and do mitzvos l'chadchil, especially when do we do sukkah? Sukkah is the first mitzvah right after Yom Kippur. We know the famous halacha, which tells you right after you eat motzei Yom Kippur, you go build your sukkah. You want to start on the good, you know, so if we're going to start on a good foot, why would we want to go ahead and do a bidyevet? So the truth is, even though me'ikar hadin, we don't have to accept the psak of Beis Shammai, and we can rely on a sukkah yeshana because we follow Beis Hillel. Still, l'chadchila, we should go ahead and be mechadish darbar. So that's why, even though this is really going to be learning the Shita of Beis Shammai, this is why we're spending some time doing it, because Beis Hillel would subscribe to it on the Chachil level. So now let's just continue on in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, so the Ezu Sukkah Yishan, like we said before, what is considered to be an old Sukkah? It's called Sha'asah Kodom L'chag Shloshim Yom. Anything that was built more than 30 days before, again, according to everybody, for sure, the Schach. Some would say even the walls. Avali Masal Hashem Chag. And here's the thing, even Beis Shammai would agree to this. If July 4th you say, I'm going to build my sukkah right now for sukkahs, Afilu Mitchilas Hashkshana Kshera, it's going to be good, because again, the issue is not age, the issue is intent. And as long as you have the proper intent, it doesn't matter when you go ahead and build it. The machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai is if you have no intent. And what we're going to be saying is, when do we consider a stam intent, you know, without anything, generic, just building, when is that considered to be the Shem Mitzvah or not? Beis Hillel says we don't have to worry about it at all. Beis Shammai says within 30 days before Sukkot. Okay, so the Gemara is going to go and ask right now, we're going to look for the source of Beis Shammai and to see where does Beis Shammai come up with his halacha. So my time at the Beis Shammai, what's Beis Shammai's reasons? Amar Kra, the Pasuk tells us, Chag HaSukkos Ta'asa Lecha, Chag HaSukkos Shivas Yomim Lashem. It's a holiday of Sukkot for 7 days, and it says, Sukkah Ha'asuya L'Shem Chag B'inyan, right? We require a Sukkah that is made for the purpose of a Chag. Chag HaSukkos. The Sukkahs has to be for the Yontif. Sounds like a great raya. So the question is, Ubeis Hillel, what's Beis Hillel going to do with this particular drasha? This seems like a really, really good drasha. So Beis Hillel is going to say, Ahumi Baile Lichad Rav Sheshes. No, we need that pasuk to teach us the halacha of Rav Sheshes. Do Yomer Rav Sheshes or Rav Sheshes would say, Mishum Rabbi Akiva, Nimer Rabbi Akiva, Minayin La'atse Sukkah Shasurin Kol Shiva. How do we know that the Schach, or like we said before, Schach, or some are going to say the walls also, are Asur all 7 days? Talmud Lomar, Chag HaSukkos, Shivas Yomim Lashem. Okay, and what we see from here, V'tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, Kishem Shechal, Shem Shamayim ala Chagiga, just like when you bring the Korban Chagiga has a certain Kedusha because it is a Korban, Kach, Chal, Shem Shamayim ala Sukkah, the Shem Shamayim is Chal on the Sukkah, Shenemar, as it says, Chag HaSukkos Shivas Yomim Lashem, Machag Lashem, Afsukkah Lashem. It's like the Chag is for Hashem, so to Sukkah Hashem, because the idea is that we talk about a Chag, really, we always translate the word Chag as a holiday, Chag Sameach, a happy holiday. But the truth is, the word Chag really brings its roots from Chagiga, right? The korban that's brought on the Chag, on the holiday, right? The roots of our term Chag is really from the korban that we're bringing. So when we're saying Chag HaSukkos Shivas Yomim Lashem, that for 7 days the sukkah has kedusha of somewhat of a korban, we can't use it for regular purposes. And in the halacha, the Mechaber writes, and I'll just read it to you. It says Shivas Yomim Chag Bein Atzei Defanos Bein Atzei Eschach. That for the 7 days of Yontif, when we're dealing with the walls, or we're dealing with the schach, they name nosim mehem l'davar acher. And you're not allowed to get any hanah from it. And then the Mechaber goes, brings down, and says, even on Shmini Atzeres, but that's a whole different story that has to do with muktzah and stuff like that. When we're talking about Shmini Atzeres, we're not talking about Shmini Atzeres in America, we're talking about Shmini Atzeres in Eretz Yisrael. But when it says Shmona, that's also going to be referring to Simchas Torah also. Okay, so we see over here, that you have to go ahead and treat your sukkah with the proper respect. And the Mishnah Berurah says, interestingly, it says, Va'afilu asa sukkah acheres becholamoi vein sarich l'rishona. Let's say you had one sukkah for the first days, and you decided the 2 days, I'm going to make a cholamoi, I'm going to make a new sukkah. It says, Afilu hachi atzeha asurim bahana. That's also going to be asur bahana too. So this concept of atzei sukkah being asur bahana, as the Mechaber writes it, as being the walls and the schach, that's Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. So we've taken Beis Shammai's first attempt of finding where Sukkah Yishan is going to be Asur, and we ended up saying that that's teaching us a different halacha. So now we're left with our original question. And that's where we go back in the Gemara. It says, Beis Shammai nami mebai leilahachi. So Beis Shammai would also need this. So we're saying, Inachanami, you're right. So Elamai Tamayo de Beis Shammai, what is the reason for Beis Shammai? Why does Beis Shammai say we need a sukkah, l'shem sukkah? As it says, Ksiv Kra Achrina, we have another pasuk. And what is another pasuk? It says, Chag HaSukkos Ta'aselecha Shivas Yomim. You have to make, right, for the festival of sukkahs, you're going to make for yourself for 7 days, sukkah ha'asuya l'shem chag be'inan. When it says, Chag HaSukkos Ta'aselecha, you're taking the pasuk, flipping it around a little bit, and saying a sukkah that is needed for the chag, that's what you need, and that's why a sukkah yishana would be pasul according to Beis Shammai. So it's great drasha. It's such a great drasha. The Gemara says, well, Beis Hillel, so then what's Beis Hillel going to do with this? Beis Shammai's got a good pasuk, and the pasuk makes sense. So Beis Hillel is going to say something else. Beis Hillel is going to say, Ahumi baile lo'osin sukkah b'chol amoid. And Beis Hillel says that no, chag asukos taselecha shivas yomim means you can make a sukkah all 7 days of sukkahs. Now, actually, not all 7 days of sukkahs, because, again, if somebody didn't build a sukkah erev yontif and it's the first day of sukkahs and he realizes I have no sukkah because it's yontif, obviously he's not going to be able to build a sukkah on yontif itself. But it's speaking about chol hamoed, that if a person finds himself in a situation where he's somewhere chol hamoed and doesn't have a sukkah, so according to Beis Hillel, based on this pasuk, you're allowed to go ahead and build a sukkah on chol hamoed. So then this is a good drasha too. So what's Beis Shammai going to do with this? So Beis Shammai sviru lehu k'Rabbi Eliezer di amar ein osin sukkah b'chol shel moed. So there happens to be a shita of Rabbi Eliezer who says that your sukkah needs to be the same sukkah that you have for all 7 days. If you don't have a sukkah that can stand for 7 days, chag asukos taselecha shivas yomim, he says literally it's got to be available for 7 days. So Beis Shammai is going to be holding like Rabbi Eliezer. Happens to be that the Gemara in other places says that very often the halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Eliezer, and one of the reasons is it uses the expression d'shamutehi. Now there are two explanations as to what shamute means. Some say it means that he was put into cheirim, and that's because of the story which took place mentioned above Mitzia, where he had the whole fight with Rabbi Gamliel and the whole and Rabbi Yeshua with the Tonor Shalachnai, right? But another explanation that's given down is we don't follow him because shamutai is a play on the words of Shammai. That he's a person who follows Beis Shammai. He's a Talmud of Beis Shammai. So because he's a Talmud of Beis Shammai, we don't follow his halakha. So anyways, happens to be, as we mentioned earlier, the Mishnah Brura does bring down that when we were talking about what is Asr Bahana, the Mishnah Brura happened to write, Vafilu Asa Sukkah Acheres B'chol Amoid. You have to make a sukkah on Chol Amoid, the Isr Hana is still there. So obviously you can glean from this Mishnah Brura that clearly you are allowed to build a sukkah on Chol Amoid. The Mishnah Brura says that the Isr Hana applies to a sukkah that you built on Chol Amoid, so you could put one and one together and get the fact that you could build a sukkah on Chol Amoid. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to say, great. So we have established a source for Beis Shammai. Chag HaSukkos Ta'aselecha Shivas Yomim. Beis Hillel is going to say that's telling you you can build a sukkah on Chol Hamoed. Beis Shammai is going to say we can't build a sukkah on Chol Hamoed. We've also established that according to both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, sukkah is Asur Bahana. Machlokas as to whether it's the schach or the walls. But now we're going to ask a question on Beis Hillel from another halacha, or another mitzvah, that has similar terminology, and that's going to be the taselecha. And then we're going to be speaking about the mitzvah of tzitzis. So the Gemara says, Ubeis Hillel leis lehud Rav Yehuda Marav, what Beis Hillel doesn't hold of the halacha of Rav Yehuda Marav, the Amr Rav Yehuda Marav, asa min hakotzin, min hanimin, min hagardin psula. Let's say somebody was weaving a baguette for that he was going to be using to make as a talis. And he had some leftover string at the end. These are all examples, coats and neiman and garden, all examples of like strings that are extra stuff that's hanging onto the baguette. And he's like, oh, look at this, perfect. And he has these extra strings that are already on there. So he forms them into tzitzis, and he has now, he ties them together, and he has the five knots and the eight strings. We're going to say that's totally puzzle. The reason why that's totally puzzle is because there's a pasuk which tells us by tzitzis, gedilim taselach. You have to put the fringes on your clothes. And we say, tase. You have to actually put them in the shame tzitzis. And we're going to learn, tase velo mina osui. You have to do it. It can't just be that it was there and you formed it into tzitzis. You actually have to insert the strings into the talus or into the talus katan to make it as tzitzis. And this isn't what we're going to be asking on. We're going to be asking on the next thing. It says, minasisin kisher. If somebody took a ball of yarn, and he just happened to take that ball of yarn and formed it into strings and used those strings and put them into the becket, that's going to be kosher. However, Kamisi Kamid Shmuel, Rav Yehuda Marav says, but Rav Yehuda says, when I spoke this in front of Shmuel, Amar li af min asis inami psula. It's also going to be pasul. Why? To be inan to be lishma, because you need to not only place the strings in lishma, you need to actually weave or spin the strings and make them l'shem tzitzis. And if you ever buy tzitzis strings in the store, you'll see it has a heksher on it. You're probably wondering, why does tzitzis strings need a heksher in it? Right? So we're going to say it's not some kind of like newfangled 2022 chumrah that we've all come up with, which we sometimes love to hear about so much. But rather, the strings actually have to be spun l'shem tzitzis because of gedilim tasalacha, that you have to make it lishma. This is a concept that Beis Hillel holds of also. So now we're left with the question. When it comes to sukkah, we have the idea of tasalacha. Beis Hillel doesn't need something about lishma. Over here, by tzitzis, we're going to need something lishma. And the question is, why is Beis Hillel making a difference between the two? Seems to be contradictory.
So are we trying to establish a Gezeira Shava? Because I always thought
much of a Gezeira Shava per se, but it's like a Hekesh Limud, yeah. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Gezeira Shava per se.
Right,
more Hekesh Limud, right. And that's what it says. So the Gemara asks, Hachanami ni bai sukkah lishma. So the Gemara is going to say, no. Shiny Hasam, sukkah is different. Sorry, tzitzis is different. Why? The Yomar, Gedilim Taselach. You have to make the Gedilim for you. It says those words, Taselach. So the Gemara jumps back in and says, Hachanami Chagas Sukkos Taselach. Right? Sukkah has the same terminology. And if you have to make tzitzis, you have to spin the tzitzis for the mitzvah, you should also have to bake the sukkah for the mitzvah. So Beis Hillel is going to say no. Hahomi Baile Lema'ute Gezula. That's going to tell you that what? You can't use a sukkah gezula. It says, Chag HaSukkos Taselach. You have to make your own sukkah, and you can't actually steal a sukkah. What exactly does it mean, stealing a sukkah? It's not as complicated as, it's not as simple as just, hiring four guys to go ahead in the middle of the night with your neighbor who's like, sings too much, you think, whoever it is there, and just pick up his sukkah and just bring it into your yard or bring it in, somewhere else, right? Even though that might be a little physically complicated also to do that. But the truth is, there's a concept called Karka Eina Nigzelis, right? So we're going to be saying there's a couple possibilities that we're going to... Actually, let's backtrack for a second. Let's talk about what possibilities could make a sukkah puzzle. So possibility number one, some guy sitting in a sukkah, you want a sukkah, so what you do is, instead of carjacking, you sukkah jack. And you kick the guy out of the sukkah and says, this sukkah is now my sukkah. So this is not going to be a sukkah gezula, because Halacha tells us karka is ain't an exelus, that legally it's not considered to be stolen. Legally, it's not yours. If anything, what you're doing is you're actually legally sitting in a borrowed sukkah and not a stolen sukkah. You're going to say, wow, wonderful. I'm sitting in a borrowed sukkah. You shouldn't be encouraging this. It's not going to make you a tzaddik. But in order for something to be a sukkah gezula, it has to actually change ownership. And a sukkah on the ground cannot change ownership. If you're going to be saying that, so maybe you went ahead and either picked up the walls or just took the schach from somebody else, we're going to say that's not going to be helpful either, because the Gemara is going to establish later on that you go ahead and take wood and you build it from, take wood from your house and put it into my roof, automatically it becomes mine, and instead of me owing you wood, I'm going to be owing you the money. Again, it loses that chain gezula. And in order to be sitting in a sukkah gezula, it's got to be something which is considered to be stolen. In this case, I've officially acquired it for myself, so it's not going to be stolen. So the Shulchan Aruch brings down that this case of sukkah gezula, actually, again, it's not as common as we think. To be considered to be a sukkah gezula, it has to be the case which he brings down, him goes, sukkah asuya barosh sfina. If you happen to have a sukkah on a boat, o barosh agala, or on a wagon, which officially is not on the ground, so your sukkah is officially metaltalin, something which is movable. So that's where we would get into the official technical category of gezula. Again, even if it's not gezula, you go ahead and take somebody's schach and stick it in your sukkah, or you go ahead and force somebody... Believe me, you're not going to be a tzaddik, and this is not the mitzvah that you want to be doing. But officially, to be called sukkah gezula, it has to be, let's say, either on a boat, or it has to be on a flatbed truck or something like that.
So the Gemara is talking about a full built sukkah, not let's say the 2x4s or the metal beams that
Right. It's got to be that particular thing, right? Because once you build it, if you take the beams and build it in the thing there, the beams become yours and you owe the guy the money.
Uh-huh.
But it's not considered to be a sukkah.
A sukkah.
Uh-huh. Right.
They have those pop up sukkahs that are like made out of.
So that might be so, right? So the pop up might be right. So the pop up might be a little. If you actually pick that up and take that,
it's like in a duffel bag.
That might be that might be a little bit different, right? Yeah, the Gemara was clearly not talking about the pop ups, but you know, it could be the pop up might make a difference.
Yeah.
Now, there's one thing that one answer we didn't talk about, and that's what about the idea of mitzvah b'aveira, right? Because we know that you're not supposed to go ahead and steal somebody's things.
So that's sukkah gezula.
If
you have a sukkah gezula, then
so Tosos asked this question.
Yeah.
So. Right, but what Tosos says that mitzvah b'aveir is only going to posel it on a derabbanan level. Over here, we're talking about a deoraisa level. So this is already even stronger than mitzvah b'aveir. Obviously, mitzvah b'aveir is going to apply also, and it's not going to be good. But here, we're going even one step further. So we mentioned that. Beis Hillel is going to be saying, Chag HaSukkos Ta'aselecha is going to be telling you Sukkah Gezula, that you can't have a Sukkah Gezula either. So the question is, what about, right? So that's why he's not going to be as worried about, it says Chag HaSukkos Ta'aselecha, Gedilim Ta'aselecha, and so on. He's not going to make the connection to Tzitzis. But the Gemara wants to know, well, what about Beis Hillel using stolen Tzitzis? Does that mean, could you use stolen tzitzis? Because, we've taken care of, we said that, the pasuk is telling you no stolen sukkah, but tzitzis, we don't say you can't use stolen tzitzis. So it says, hasam nami, by tzitzis also ksiv, krachrina, the osu lahem, mishelachem, so that again, when it comes to tzitzis, we have the other pasuk with tzitzis, which tells you that according to Beis Hillel, you can't use tzitzis that are stolen also. Just interestingly, what it means, stolen tzitzis, again, it means that you take the strings from somebody and you put them in the beged, as opposed to if you steal wool and you decide, I'm going to steal wool and then I'm going to form the wool into a talus and then I'm going to go ahead and form other parts of that wool into strings, that's not going to be, again, gezula, because that officially becomes yours when you turn the wool into a beged or a talus. That the Gemara in Bava Kamma tells us is that you're actually doing something called Shinu Hashem. It's not considered to be wool anymore. If you look at it, it's not wool, right? You pick up the talus that you have over here. Nobody's going to say, this is wool. We're going to call it a talus. We're going to call it tzitzis. So that's what we're talking about over here. So again, just to recap, when it comes to lishma, Beis Hillel is going to say we need lishma by sukkah, by tzitzis, is because we have another pasuk. As far as sukkah, because it only has one pasuk of ta'aselecha, so that's going to tell you gezula, not lishma. So that's what we've discussed over here in this Mishnah. Again, the idea of a sukkah lishma, Beis Shammai saying yes, and Beis Hillel saying no.
How did we answer the issue from the previous daf that the sukkah's ganvach and the sukkah?
So the ganvach is going to be, according to Beis Hillel, it's going to be good. As long as it's done l'shem tzel. If you make it, so again, because Beis Hillel just needs stam, the default is going to be good. So as long as you know that you're making that type of structure just, to give you shade and stuff like that, that's going to be okay. That's only Beis Hillel, right. The whole Ganvach Ravkash thing, that's only like Beis Hillel. It's not going to be like Beis Shammai. All right. Now, we're going to move into something completely, completely different. And we have the top of the next Mishnah, which is actually going to be really, I would consider this to be almost like two Mishnayos in one. The first one is Ha'osa Sukaso Tachasa Ilan. The first one is, what if a person makes a sukkah under a tree? Again, that's, for those of us who don't make sukkahs on decks, this is something which could be a possibility. Mm-hmm. So the Mishnah says, Ki'ilu asa b'toch habayis. It's as if he made it in the house. Now, this is a very, very strange terminology for a Mishnah. Usually when we talk about a Mishnah, right, Mishnayos are not necessarily what we would call like literary works. They're very, very straightforward. It's either going to be kosher, pasul, yotzah, lo yotzah. What it kind of sounds like over here, you make it under a tree, it's like you made it into a house. It's like you're using like a simile or a metaphor, which one do you use? Like, I think it might be a simile. Similar, right? All of a sudden the Mishnah is getting so literary on us. This is like, for all the English teachers out there, for the literal people. So the Gemara is going to get into why the Mishnah doesn't actually just go ahead and say simply puzzle for what it actually means. And then the Mishnah goes into the second case, and that's where it says sukkah al gabi sukkah, when you have one sukkah on top of another sukkah, ha'oyona kashera v'hatachtona psula. So the top one is going to be kosher, the bottom one is going to be puzzle. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, im ein diurim be'oyona, if you can't live in the top one, meaning that the structure of the top sukkah is so weak that people can't simply sit in it. So in that case, hatachtona kashera, the bottom one is going to be kosher. It's not going to be the problem of a sukkah on top of another sukkah. Like, Derek Agav, just thinking about like what we would do in our case, let's say, just thinking about, you know, I would think just at least off the bat, is that when we're having two sukkahs on top of each other, you definitely are not using, you're not carefully covering the bottom sukkah with a bamboo mat. Because the bamboo mats that we use, I definitely wouldn't recommend like sitting on them or standing on them or pretty much anything. But, you know, you could make sukkahs out of, you could make schach out of, you know, 2x4s. And if you make a sukkah with like a very small, you know, with 2x4s, which are less than 3 tefachim, now between 3 and 4, no, up to 3 tefachim is good. This is going to be what's going to be talking about later on in the parak. So yeah, you can actually have a floor that's structurally sound. When we're talking about sukkah, tacha, sukkah, that's what we're talking about over here, where the floor of the upper sukkah is actually structurally sound that you could actually function it. You could actually sit there, you could actually sleep there. But I don't think that our sukkahs that we have with the bamboo and the mats and the branches and stuff like that.
So it's not a plywood floor?
No, probably not. Yeah.
It's not a flat floor. It's a valid schach.
Yeah, well, yeah, it has to be valid schach, right. It definitely has to be valid schach for sure. Okay.
But you said that if you take the
2x4s, yeah.
Put them on edge, okay? It can span about 8 feet.
Yeah, that could work. Yeah, 2x4. Yeah, it would have to be.
You just space the part, and that'll work. And
yeah, that's exactly right. That's what we're talking about. Right, it's got to be like, you know, like real.
But you got to be careful with the chair not to put it in between.
Yeah.
You'd be sitting on a soapbox.
So at the end of the day, though, in this basically a 2-level condo, you still have sale. So if you're on the bottom level in this scenario, regardless, you can still see the kochavim.
So that's going to be discussed all the way on the bottom of the umma. That's going to be more for next week. Okay. I just like to save that for the next person because it's very complicated.
You know. Stars are aligned.
Oh, stars are aligned. It's perfect. You know, one of the things that you know is that when you have a who's next?
Robert Weissman.
Oh, perfect. Robert Weissman is when you have something really, really complicated on the bottom of the umma base. This is the perfect thing. You know, like, oh, let me give a nice present for the next guy, and that's what I'm going to, you know. And then not show up to give this year for a couple of months. It's perfect. I'm going to run, make my escape. And okay. All right. So let's get into like the beginning of what we spoke about before, the sukkah tachas ha'ilan. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, lo shanu ela be'ilan shetzilasa muruba mechamasa. When are we saying that you're not going to make a sukkah under a tree? That's if the tree itself provides more shade than sun. Now, where's this term based on? We know we've had this before, that in order to be kosher schach, it has to provide more shade than sun. So we're saying over here that this particular tree would actually qualify as, at least amount-wise, as schach, and the fact that the tree is attached to the ground is going to be pasul schach. However, aval chamaso meruba mitzilaso, if you only, let's say, have like one or two branches, or the branches itself don't provide that much shade. So the Gemara says, it's going to be kashera, it's going to work. Okay, so again, when we're talking about sukkah, tachas ha'ilan, it means that the tree provides a substantial amount of shade for what we have. So now the Gemara wants to know, where do you get this diuk from? Right? It's very clear when the Mishnah says, osa sukkaso tachas ha'ilan. If I just saw you make a sukkah under a tree, I would just think simply it means, if it says under a tree, it's under a tree. Why are we suddenly deciding, well, now, when it says under a tree, it's only when it has a lot of shade from the tree. But if the tree itself doesn't provide enough shade or enough sail, then it's not going to be a problem. Why would I think that? And that's what the Gemara says, Mimai. Why would I think that? So now we're going to get to our literism in the Mishnah. It says, Midiktani, kilu asa besocha bayis. Because the sukkah, the Mishnah says, it says, if you made the sukkah, it's like if you made the sukkah inside your house. So, lamali le misni, kilu asa besocha bayis. Listen, psula. Simply do what all Mishnayos do. Say the whole thing is possible. Why do we have to go ahead and give this little simile? So it says, Eloha Kamash Malan, rather, teach us the following. The Elon Dumya Lebayis, that a tree is like a house. Mabayis Tzilosu Meruba Mechamoso, just like when it comes to a house, at least you would hope that the roof of your house provides more shade than sun. If your roof of your house does not provide more shade than sun, I know a contractor that you can go to help make your roof provide more shade than sun. So if that's the case, just like your house has more shade than sun, af ilan tzilaso mirubi mechamaso, so you also need to have the tree as well. So that if you have the tree only provides with a few branches, the Gemara is going to say that it's actually going to be kosher. But now the Gemara is going to jump in for a second. Wait a second. We still have another problem. Because even though the tree itself is not considered to be its own carving, its own roof, what's the problem with the tree and the branches?
They're high up.
Okay, but let's say it's within the 20 atmos, so it's going to be okay. What else is the problem having a tree? Why can't we put it?
Sukkah Yashana.
It's been forever, right? So we're going to be like Basila, so we'll be okay, all right? You know? Or let's say you move the, you know? What else is the problem? The chuba, right? The tree is attached to the ground. You know, this is what made sukkah building so complicated over the years. If we could just go simply put a sukkah under a tree, and we know this work, so then it would be so easy. You don't have to buy mats or anything like that. You have
shade.
Right. Of course, in a lightning storm, that might be a different story. But again, if it's lightning, you shouldn't be sitting in your sukkah either. So that's another problem, right? But, okay, we have the problem of mechuba. So let's say there's not so much shade. So what if there's not so much shade? But even so, the Gemara asks, V'chi chamasu meruba mitzilosu mayhave. Haka mitzdarek schach posel bahadei schach kosher. You're mixing schach posel with schach kosher. And we have a rule that, you know, if there's going to be enough schach posel in there, it's going to, like, nullify, it's going to be mevatel the good stuff. Because, you know, you have to have only good sukkah. You know, there's a minimum amount that you can do, but as far as having schach posel with regular stuff, that's not going to work. Right? You can't just put a little bamboo and then a nice piece of metal and a little bamboo and a nice piece of metal. You know, that's not going to work. So how could this help anyway? So Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa Kishechavtan, that what we did was you actually tie it down. I actually have found a picture of it. I kind of blew it up a little bit. I don't know if you can see it. My printer is not so great, but you can pass it around. So this is what it means, chavtan. This is at least the Masifta picture, where you took it and you tied it down.
Meanwhile, the branches...
The branches down, right? You put them, you mix them within the schach and stuff like that. So it happens to be that the Mishnah Berurah mentions that when you're doing this, you have to... Actually, the Ramah mentions it. It says that you have to do it so it's kind of noticeable. The Ramah brings this down, Rashi brings it down, that it says, Hishpil anof of lamata mu'rovim itzchak kosher vein nirin be'ayin, that you can't actually see it. So I'm wondering if that would necessarily be the case with if you did a bamboo mat and then you kind of tied the tree branch into the bamboo mat, that might work, that might not work. Or else you could say maybe it's not going to be an issue because somehow you can get in. Maybe with bamboo poles it might be a little bit easier to get it in there. But as long as it's kind of tied down, that's not going to be so problematic and that's going to work.
What's the answer that you tied it down?
Meaning you talk,
it's still connected to the tree.
It is, but like once you intermingle it with the schach, so it now becomes like one giant, meaning that the schach pasul is now batel to the schach kosher. It's like, you know, like we have, you know, the pot with the meat, and you know, all of a sudden, like a little bit, you know, when you have more heter than isser, it's going to be batel.
Is chevatan giving in a way almost like a halachic status of nituk from the chubar? In other words, that it's giving the impression of it being.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, because yeah, I would say yeah. I'd say it becomes actually part of, you know,
exactly.
It becomes like totally bought out to the
new element. Is it? Now it's tied in. It's literally tied in.
Yeah, because it's tied in. Exactly. Right. Because otherwise you wouldn't be able to sit under it. The fact is that there's no indication anywhere that you can't sit under it. So that's why it should. That's why it should work. Right. Now, you might ask a question. Wait a second. We have a rule. Ein mevatlet isra lechatchila. You know. We're not supposed to go ahead and do this. So there are a couple of answers given. One answer given is that, you know, we don't consider, there's a concept called mitzvos lav lahenos nidnu, that mitzvos are not considered to be hana. I mean, obviously, our neshama gets hana. you know, and we get closer to Hashem by doing mitzvos, and it's the right thing to do. But objective hana, which we normally measure in things that we're not supposed to get benefit from or not, that doesn't apply to mitzvos also. So now the Gemara is just going to say, wait a second. So what's the reason? So this is very simple. You tied it down there. You don't see it anymore. It's bato. So now the Gemara goes ahead and says the following. It says, maybe we would make a gzeira and say that, oh, when I went ahead and I'm going to say that, I'm going to ask you when I tied it, because you might confuse it with a case where you didn't tie it. People might see it tied down and not realize that it's tied down. I might think you could just simply go ahead and use the branches to make up your schach. So the Gemara says, Kamash Malan, Delo Gazrinan, because again, the association is so remote, because you tie it down, it's like what Mitch said before, it like becomes really a part of your schach, it's not going to be an issue. So now the Gemara says, why are we asking this again? Hanami Tanina, we have a similar Mishnah later on, which says, Hidla Leas Agefen Vesadalas Vesakisus, if you happen to hang a branch or a vine over your sukkah, Visike Chalgabon, and you put schach on top of it, Psula, it's puzzle. But if there was more schach, or she kits it son, or you cut them before you put it down, kishera. So the Gemara asks, hey chidami, how does that work? If it was when you didn't tie the branch down, you didn't tie the vine down, how come it starts schach pasul and schach kosher? El alav shechivton. It must be that you actually tied it down. So we already have a Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph telling us that you can go ahead and tie it down. Why do we need this Gemara to explain our Mishnah is that, you know, it's only a problem when you didn't tie it down, but if you tie it down, it's going to be okay. So the Gemara says, Ma'o desema hani mili b'di'eved. If I only had the Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph, I would think Hidla means only the Rabbim b'di'eved. Aval chadchila lo, kamash malan. We say that from our Mishnah, we learn that even lichadchila, you can go ahead and do this. It's not a problem. If you have one or two branches and you tie them down to your schach, that's perfectly good, even lechadchila. Okay, let's just start the last little thing there, and then we'll leave Rabbi Weitzman with all the fun. It says, sukkah gabe sukkah v'chuli. So it says, Tana Rabbanan, Pasuk says, basukos teshvu v'lo basukah shetacha sukkah. It says what? We translate the Pasuk as sukkos, right? But if you look on the side, it's on the side of my Gemara, it doesn't spell it samach vav kav vav tav in plural. It actually spells it samach chav tav in singular. And if you remember a couple of tapim ago, we had this whole question of yeshem the mikra, yeshem the mesoras. Do you follow the pronunciation or do you follow the spelling when there are two different things could be learned out from it? Over here we're saying sukkas, it's almost, so you have to sit in a sukkah and not in a sukkah that's under another sukkah. It also says, velo sukkah shetacha se'ilon, velo besukkah shebesokha bayis. And you can't sit in the sukkah inside the other one. So you're going to tell me not everybody holds of yeshem the mesoras? So Tosfos says, again, the issue is, it's only when there's a contradiction between the two. When the pronunciation and the spelling contradict, then you have a problem. But if you're going to be saying that the spelling is going to teach us you need four walls, and the pronunciation is going to tell us you need four walls, and the spelling is going to tell you that it can't be sukkah under a sukkah. So again, those two don't conflict. You can learn both. You can say, I need a sukkah that has four walls, and it can't be under another one. So because of that, everybody will follow this drasha, and that's why sukkah tacha sukkah is no good, and the details will be explained next week by Sisha.
Go ahead.